Amen. Amen. If we can just touch him today, truly we'll never be the same. Just like Jacob, amen. He had a different walk, amen. Amen. We just have one testimony here, amen, and a prayer request. Amen. First from our sister Barb testimony. It says, my gas gauge hasn't worked correctly since sister Ashley and I took, and Ty and Caleb and Laura went to camp. The week after we brought them home, it went to E and stayed there for most of the summer. I tried to keep track of my mileage to keep from running out of gas unsuccessfully a couple times. This past Sunday, Jesus fixed my gas gauge, and it's been working ever since. Amen. So give the Lord a round of applause for that. Amen. 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 I had a testimony too. I didn't even know about it last Sunday until Monday or so. But we had that little birthday party out there at the Salmi's there, and you know, we cooked a bunch of food. I cooked some food at home on my grill. Well, I just replaced the tank. And I did the corn. I took it off. Well, I thought I turned it off, but I left it on. I had it inside my garage, and I closed the door, and it must have ran. You know, I don't know how long a full tank will last, but it ran the whole time inside my garage, and nothing caught on fire. So praise God for that. Amen. Amen. But praise the Lord. But we have one prayer request here. Amen. How many just have need of something from the Lord today? Amen. From Sister Julie, it says, please pray for my sister-in-law, Julie. She recently had surgery to inflate one of her lungs that collapsed. Please pray that the Lord will give her a quick recovery. Amen. So keep her in prayer. I'm just going to ask Brother Dustin if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings. Amen.
Glad to be in the house, Lord. Amen. Amen. That's far ahead. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we just humbly come before your throne, Father God. God, we just thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord Jesus. Father God, as the songs were saying, Father, Lord, God, you're our friend, Father God. You're our brother, God, but yet you're still our King, Lord Jesus. Father God, you're a healer, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, Father, we believe you're here right now, Lord Jesus. We just ask, Father God, that you just tend to this prayer request, Father God, that's been laid upon the sister's heart, Father God. Lord God, it seems like, Father God, this world's falling apart, Lord Jesus. God, there's wars and rumors of wars, Father God. We just ask that you just, God, we just thank you, Father, first of all, for just bringing us here in this end time, Lord Jesus, God, just to serve you, Lord. God, just prepare our hearts this evening, Father God, for the word, Lord Jesus. God, let it just quicken to our souls, Father God. Lord, we just love you, God. We just ask that you just bless the tithes and the offerings, Father God, for the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord Jesus, and just be with us the remainder of this service, Lord. Speak through our brother Cam. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just sing that song, Hold the God's Unchanging Hand, amen. Amen. How many know that if, you know, the times are coming that, you know, we might be ripped away from one another, or, you know, things that are happening, you know, all over the place right now, wars, rumors, wars, like my brother said, you know. But if we hold the God's unchanging hand, if we hold to it now, that same hand, he'll hold us then. Amen. How many believe that today? Amen. Amen.
And time is filled with swift transition.
Why don't you hold to God's unchanging hand?
Sing that song, Hosanna, blessed be the rock, amen. Is he your rock? Is he your fortress? Amen. Will you run into him in this day? Amen.
Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord.
And oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised.
now, Lord. Lord, glory to your name, Father. Amen. We'll just sing that song, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward ground, amen. How many are pressing daily, amen, amen. No matter what, don't fall back, don't stay idle, but go forward, amen. Go up. I'm pressing on the upward way. Song, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus, amen. Amen. A day and a time like this, amen, we want to depend upon that, amen. Well, can't nobody, oh, do me like Jesus. Can't nobody, oh, do me like Jesus. many come expecting for the word tonight? Amen. Amen. Man, let's just sing that song, Welcome Holy Spirit. Amen. How many need his presence? Amen. Today. Amen. More than ever before. Amen.
Welcome Holy Spirit.
Comforter and counselor. God, good to be in the house of God this evening. Amen. Amen. Let's just get our Bibles out and get ready to jump into the Word this evening. Good to see all those. How many hungry for God? Amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of God. Good to see, like I said, all those people who really love God genuinely, sincerely. Just it surely is a blessing to be in love with God in this hour. Amen. And this evening we had a little bit of a thought. We're going to continue with our thought on Sunday by the grace of God. And God just brought me back around to this. If we had your Bibles, I'd like us to turn to just a few portions. Let's go in our Bibles to Hosea 10:12. After that, we're going to go to Jeremiah 15. Just have a little thought this evening. Might be a little hard. I don't know. Might not be too hard. I don't know. It's just what God just gave me, so... We just want to say what God has to say. I've got so many passages of Scripture, I'm not going to get to all of them tonight. But just want to just bring a little thought and just kind of work with a little thing. It's perhaps maybe working in my heart. I pray it's probably working in your heart, like we were reading the other day. It said, the same God that's speaking through me, even right now, same God that's working mighty in you, right? So praise God. Hosea 10:12. Says here, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now notice why he has to say this in the 13th verse. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Amen. Let's go to Jeremiah 15, verse 1. Says here, it says, then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be towards this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death, to death, and such as are for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for the famine, to the famine, and such as are for the captivity, to the captivity. Oh my. Getting hard already. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank you, Lord, for this evening, Lord. And I'm just going to come humbly before you even now, God, and just ask, Lord, that you'd have your way with your people this evening, God. We just pray, God, you'd move us into the condition, put us in the pathway, the predestined pathway that you have always had for us, God. Even before we come into existence within this world, God, you knew, oh God, exactly what we would do, God, for your kingdom's sake, God. And how our desire, our heart, we're so hungry to do those things, Lord. I pray, oh God, even now, Lord, that you just move in our lives, God. Lord, more than it was yesterday, God. More, Lord, than a week ago, God. More than even this morning when we woke up, God. I pray, oh God, that you'd certainly speak to us tonight, O God. God, Lord, if it's rebuke, bring rebuke, God. Lord, if it's, oh God, something that turns into be happy, God, let it be happy then, God. But we want your word, Lord, your Holy Ghost to say what you would have to say, God. We just ask, God, you'd certainly take control of your people, God. And God, as we get into this thought, Lord, I just ask, God, you'd certainly, Lord, let us not miss, oh God, this hour, what we're looking at, God. We're looking at such, oh God, a dismal time, oh God. And Lord, how we know, Lord, what's coming up, God, it's not great, Lord, but Lord, it is great if you're the bride, God. So Lord, give us strength, oh God, as we press in your word, Lord. Forgive me if there's sin in my life, God. Forgive the church if there's sin in their lives, God. God, set us free, God, from our iniquities, Lord. We pray, God, have mercy upon us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The bride says, amen. You may be seated. We had a title for this evening sermon. We'd like to entitle it, If Thou Wilt Return. And we'll get into this in just a moment by the grace of God. And maybe recapping, I wouldn't say recapping, but kind of just working along the thought line of breaking your fallow ground. Amen. Now we understand that in looking at, like I said, tonight we'll be a little bit away from the church ages, a little bit away from maybe a few things that we've been on, but we're still kind of working with the thought of having God right here with us. Amen. Because this is the type of God we want, and tonight we just want to go through some scriptures and just kind of show you how bad people can get, maybe show you how good they can get. But just to show you, because remember, the scripture says that God is long-suffering, amen? His desire is always to give mercy. His desire remember, the scripture says that he's long-suffering, that all may come to repentance. God wants all to come repentance. Even though he knows that they can't or they won't, he still has it within his heart to give them every possible chance to serve him. Amen. And it's amazing as we begin to jump into the Bible tonight, but you find that God so loves his children, right? And that he gives us chance after chance. I would like us to maybe just think for a second just right now. How many times God has given you grace this week? Amen. We've just got to Wednesday, and how many times has God been graceful to you? Amen. Because remember, there is a place, and I believe it's in 1 John 4, if I remember correctly, that you can get where there's no grace to be sought anymore. And it's even a place that John says that don't even pray for them. Amen. He said there is a sin unto death. Amen. And you're not supposed to pray for people under that disposition. But thank God that by the grace of God, when you feel a tug on your heart, you feel God still moving in your midst, so to say. Because you have to admit tonight that God is still moving in your midst. Amen. He hasn't turned his back on you, though you have turned your back on him all the time. Amen. He's that kind of God, loving God, a great God, the type of God you'd love to serve. Amen. Amen. But I want us to get to the place tonight, and as we work with this thought, when grace becomes disgrace, or when grace is spurned and there's nothing but judgment left. Because remember, this is actually where we're seated at right now. Hallelujah. This country has been indicted. It was indicted 50 years ago. Amen. Or more. But by the grace of God, what does that say to us? Remember, as the gospel, it started from the east and moved to the west. The whole purpose in God's design for the Gentile calling is that he would start with the gospel in the east, and he would bring that all the way up to the west, amen? And we would understand that is what? It's from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, right? So God brought up the sun in the east, and He allowed the Holy Ghost to be upon those Gentile people, and He actually allowed it. And I find to be very interesting when you look at the church ages. Every time you look at it, it's moving further and further to the west. But anyway, when you begin to look at that, like I said, maybe we'll get to Thyatira, you'll find that it's already back over in England already. But you'll find out that it didn't start there. It started to the east from there, right? But now it's actually in the west, and it's the closing time of everything. And now God gave grace to this nation, but this nation has turned its back on God. God sent a prophet, indicted the generation, indicted the nation, indicted the people for crucifying Christ afresh. Amen. And you think they might have repented? They didn't repent. So all that we look at in front of our face for this world is judgment. Hallelujah. Well, remember what your prophet said. He said the same waters that judged a wicked world were the same waters of judgment that actually lifted Noah up in the ark. And as long as you're seated in that three-tier ark, as far as it was built with three tiers, of course, meaning what? A justification, sanctification, and a Holy Ghost, you got something that's going to float on the water, amen? So you will rise above the judgment, amen? And just like I was even telling a brother yesterday, I think you have to fight not to be in this rapture. You have to fight to allow yourself in your flesh to control you. Amen. So now, tonight, we want to work with breaking up your fallow ground and if thou wilt return. And we're going to do this through the book of Jeremiah and just give you a few thoughts therein and kind of work with this a little bit just to show you a little bit about what we're looking at. Because remember, in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, it said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Amen. So notice what this is. If the people did not adhere or join to the message of truth, that God would literally have to send a curse upon the earth, right? And according to Daniel 12:1, the scripture says there that it was a time as never was before. It was a time of judgment that would be upon this earth, and there would never be a time like it. Amen. When they're putting stuff in your food just to kill you, just to make you weak, that shows that they have a plan. Amen. When everything is looking you in the face and saying that you don't belong here, you're a misfit. Right? You're judging me. You're doing this and you're doing that. And all you're doing is proclaiming the word of God. The future looks bleak for the Christian church. The future looks bad for Living Waters Tabernacle 10 years from now. But the good thing is, Living Waters Tabernacle, its church, is not its predestinated place to be for eternity. Amen? This church, we're doing a lot of work, but that's not where this thing's going to end up at. Amen? Because it's not the Living Waters church that's going in the rapture. It's the individuals that realize the word birth, right? And they accept that Holy Ghost. They get changed. They get renewed. They get filled with God and move into a position that God can be in their midst. Now, let's begin to look at this a little bit. Now, I want to spend some time in Jeremiah this evening, and just as perhaps a little overview, you understand what Jeremiah was. He was known as the lamenting prophet. Wasn't great times for old Jeremiah. And as we had went through, I believe a week or two ago, you found that Jeremiah didn't really, he thought that he was a defense city. He thought he was going to be the great destroyer. He thought that he was going to be all this. But that really wasn't his calling. His calling was actually to suffer, but to get the word out.
Amen.
Right? But notice here that literally what Jeremiah was, it was God's last cry. To an indicted generation. It was at the place that God literally, he had cried out so low, so loud, that finally they would not be his. And God finally what? Just like in the scripture when it said that the iniquity of the Amorites had to be filled, that it come to a place that judgment finally could strike the nation, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Now, let's look at this tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to Jeremiah 3:1. We understand that when you begin to look at this, these are the things that we obviously use and type for a church in the Scripture, that God would type Israel as a woman. But we see here, in Jeremiah 3:1, it says, "They say if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord." Now, notice this. God is giving them a chance. Remember, it was part of the law. If the wife cheated, you'd stone her, you could kill her, you could put her away, do all these things. But here, God is saying to Israel, you have been all this to me. Not just with one lover, but with many lovers. And you have not heard my voice crying to you. I'm your husband. I'm your God. I'm the one you say you serve and you're not doing it. But if you could cry out for repentance, there is still a chance. Hallelujah. And what kind of God is this that literally not just one lover, but many lovers over and over and over again, and God cries out in grace again and says, "Wilt thou return?" Oh, hallelujah. What are you looking at, church? This is what we're looking at. Remember, Jeremiah's voice was the call, the last call before destruction, before the captivity began. Now, let's continue here if we could. Let's move down to the 12th verse. Now, if you really want to get in depth with that, you can see in the third verse it talks about how she had a hoarse forehead, so God couldn't even give her the latter rain. You see, this is talking about this day. A hoarse forehead. What? Because she had other lovers. She had denominations. She had everything but the Word Himself. And because of that, God couldn't give her the latter rain. But notice, it wasn't that he held up the latter rain. He says, "You have withholden the latter rain. You did it." So now, let's read. Let's start that fourth verse real quick. No, let's do the third, because we might as well read that. It says, "Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a hoarse forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the guide of my youth." Hallelujah! So all God said was, "You know what you got to do? You got to cry out to me if you want it. If you hear about a revival on the Washington coast and you know it ain't here, why aren't the latter rains here? Because you ain't crying for them.
Come on, brother.
I see some wiggling going on. Amen. God help us. We're called for it. We are chosen to go into this rapture. The only thing that can hold us back is ourselves. Because God is crying out. He's saying, yeah, I know you got pride. Yeah, I know you got lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I know you like money. Amen. But even though you've played the harlot, you can still have the revival. Jumping down, 12th verse, says, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Notice, 14th verse, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. I feel like I'm sitting in Laodicea reading this. Because what? That's what we know it is. Your prophet said that one of this city, two over here in this church. Hallelujah. But I'm looking for the exception. Amen. If we could cry out, if we could get hungry, what could this God do for us? But the problem is, you have to break up your fallow ground. Because you know what? Every time you come into this church or sit in a church, the word is going forth. God is allowing that seed to fall on the ground. But if that ground is not in condition to receive the word, then it will not bring forth of the seed word. Hallelujah. So we continue on. He says again, 22nd verse, 322, return, you backsliding children, and I'll heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the God, Lord our God. Return, backsliders! You say, brother, that's hard. Why is that hard? Is that hard because you're a backslider? Come on! Because if you weren't a backslider right now, you'd be saying, hallelujah, God! Amen, Lord! Bring in the repentance, God! But it starts to convict. It starts to hurt. And what? Tear you to pieces. Because you know that the word is aiming at you. Hallelujah. So now, let's move with this just a little bit here. As we understand what's going on, God literally called them. Now, you realize what this is saying. God did not bring the proclamation for the 70 years of captivity till Jeremiah 29. And here we find out, well before that, God is ushering to them. Come on in. Come on. There's still a chance. But it comes. Now remember, God sent a prophet with the word. Calling the people to the feast. The husband and the wife called together. That's what this is. What? It is Rebekah returning to Isaac. So now notice, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles again, Jeremiah 7, verse 13. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he's just like, he said, I just don't understand any of that Bible. He said, Numbers and all that stuff like that. And I'm thinking, I love preaching on Numbers. There's so much in Numbers. And the more I look at it, I've heard that when I was in the Assemblies of God, they told me, they said the places that are hard to preach from, they said it'll be very difficult to preach from Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Leviticus and Numbers. They said those four. It's tough. If I remember correctly, there might have been more, but I thought that's what they said. But you know what? When I look at this, it's like, mercy God. Everything is pointing right at the Word and the Bride. I see me. Amen. I see the need right here. Oh, Lord Jesus. So notice, as we continue on, Jeremiah 7:13 says, "Now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name." They must be the message church. He says, "Wherein ye trust." They trust what? They trust the church. There's plenty of church, Andy, going on in the message. "And unto the place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight. And I have cast all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim." Now notice what he tells Jeremiah. "Therefore, pray not for this people. Neither lift up cry nor prayer for them. Neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee." This people went so far away from God that God had to tell the prophet that don't even pray for them anymore. Now I looked for it tonight and I couldn't find it. That they always said, Brother Bram said, he said, don't even pray for America anymore. But we know there's no revival in America. Because America is not the revival. Israel is what? It's not the revival right now yet. Israel will be the revival because they are a nation church. But America is not a nation church. America is a what? It's a called out Gentile virgin within the nation. Just like England. England's not going to get another revival, nor America. It's over. The only place the revival can call out is what? Amongst the Word chosen bride. So where's my cry for? Is it for America? God, bring America to their knees. AFR's got that thing going on right now. They say we're crying for revival in America. There's going to be no revival in America. You say, oh, are you telling me that I shouldn't pray for a miracle? No, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You are crying out for the abominations done among the city. You're crying out for the last elected seed to come out. Right? Hey, I don't want nobody to be lost either. I don't want nobody going to this tribulation either. Because I'm feeling the effects of it right now on me. Right? Don't you feel the evil around you pressing at you? Well, what is that when it's unleashed against you? You know why that strikes me so crazy? It's because I know it's Satan's desire to vent that on the bride. So what? So when you see what's meant for you going at someone else, how can't you cry out for those who are receiving the judgment that was reserved for you, but God gave you grace to escape it? How can't you cry out? How can you want God to do a move God, I know there's 50 more, God. Is there 50 righteous, God?
Come on, brother.
Amen. Well, we better be making sure there ain't 50. Right? Abraham cried out. He said, God, spare. And God went and looked. Right? We don't see Abraham going up in the city and looking. But this ain't that. As far as right now, we don't let God do everything. We are the gospel. We are the good news. We are the Word made flesh. We have to get in the same condition that Jeremiah is. A fire shut up in my bones. Why could Jeremiah not cry out? The only time he couldn't cry out is when the fire wasn't in him. But when the fire touched the vessel, what? He could not hold back the word. That's where we want to be. We want to be in a place with God that the fire, the consuming fire of God, is what has us so held that we can't help but just let the word come forth. What is the bride's revival? It's when the fire takes residence. This bride hasn't arrived yet. Amen. When this bride arrives, you're going to know it arrives. You say, oh, there's going to be supernatural. I ain't looking at the supernatural. I'm looking at the fire. How are you going to know you got it? Oh, I'll tell you how you know you got it. When that word is so great on you, it makes you want to pray all day long.
Amen.
When that word on you, whether, you know, all the unsuccess that you've had witnessing, you can't help but cry out.
Amen.
I ain't talking about going up to the Apple Butter Fest and joining the gang that you're going to burn in hell. I'm talking about the fire of God. Because remember, the fire of God will consume them, but it can't consume you. Because you're a type of the burning bush. Amen. That the fire can what? Can go in the natural. And it can sit there and burn, but the bush is not consumed. That's what you are. You cannot be burned by this fire. You can only what? Project the voice of God. Why? Because where is the thunder? You are the thunder, church. Where is the voice of God? The voice of God is in you. But what's the problem? The problem that was just an ordinary bush until it was time to be called out. But once it was time to be called out, the fire had to take the bush so it could shine the light. Amen. Just saying something. But church, do you see where we're at? We need God. We need a revival. We need a move of the Spirit. Do you understand where I'm at? We know the word revival, it brings you from a state that you were once dead to a state that you're alive. But I want to go to a stage that I don't feel like I've seen the fullness of. My earlier days when I felt the fire, still feel it here and there. You know, like when you first become a Christian.
Amen.
You don't care if they don't like you, whatever. You just keep on going.
Amen.
Amen. You go to church no matter what.
Yeah. Right.
Can't keep you out of them prayer meeting church.
Come on.
Amen. Why? Prayer meetings ain't something to eat your time up. Prayer meetings is something that you need more of, and you know it. Hallelujah. Wait till we get this church done. Where are you going to be? Well, you say you want a revival. Then why are you crying for revival? I got all these people that come to church. Well, we don't do prayer meetings and da 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 da. Why? They only tell people behind my back that. Well, you know what? This church can't go forward until you get lined up.
Amen.
So it is better that you don't come in than to tell people, well, yeah, prayer meetings are wrong and this and that, da 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 da. Because church, we have to be together. Wait a minute. You're telling me that we can sit here and receive the word. That God can come down right here and we need to be together. But a special time that we come together and cry out to this God. We can't do that. What's the difference? When you first walked in this building tonight, did you pray? Sure did, didn't you? Some of you did. After the service is over, I know our traditions are a lot deeper than others. But you know what most of us do? After the singing is done, Brother Dave walks off the podium here. What? Most of you get down and you start praying. So you're telling me that's okay to pray before church together and after church together, but we can't just have a time to really cry out to God. I'm still waiting to find the mystery quote. I'm looking for something, but you know what it is? It's nothing but a bunch of creeds and dogmas. That's what Solomon said. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall what? Shall humble themselves and pray, then he would heal their land. It doesn't say that they have to humble themselves and pray at home by themselves. We find the significance of getting the little fires together. But when we get together to pray, it's not so much fire. The only thing that separates the wise from the foolish virgin is that the foolish virgin is not prayed up.
Come on.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, every hour I can get, that's what I want. Getting hard yet? Oh, you started out hard, brother. Preaching against backsliders, what's wrong with you? Praise God. I want to break up the fallow ground. Because you know what the fallow ground is? It is the untilled ground. They say it's ground that hasn't been tilled for 2 to 3 years.
Come on, brother.
You know what? When I tilled my garden this spring, I tilled it, I believe in March, end of March or early April, somewhere around there. And you know what? It was almost 3 to 4 weeks after that, maybe even a month, that I got in there to plant the seed. And you know what? That tilled up ground, even after a month, when I walked over there and I put foot right in that tilled ground, a month old, my foot sunk in.
Amen.
What are you trying to say? Well, when you till that ground up, you're actually adding oxygen to that ground as well. And you're what? You're actually making it so when that seed gets down in there, it can root out. It can grow. The water moving down in there. Everything works perfectly. You know the funny game I just tried? I just cleaned my shed out and I found out my grass seed was spilled all over my shed. I went out on my ground where it's all hard as rock. And I started throwing my seed on there. Ain't nobody planting grass here? You're supposed to till that first. And then after you till it, when you put the seed down, you're actually supposed to cover it with straw. But you know what I did? I just went out and threw it out there. So let's see what happens. You know what's happened? Since last Thursday? Nothing. From none of them? None of them. That grass is just sitting there looking at me and saying, are you stupid? You paid money for me. Say, yeah, just an experiment I was trying to do. But you see, that's what we do. We got the word come to us every service. Amen. And it gets thrown on us. Well, come on. Amen. Are you calling God stupid? And God comes here and plants the word. He expects the word to grow. Amen. But God throws the seed out and just sits on hard ground. We just come back. Service is just like it was last week. Say, yep, I knew it was Brother Cam, or I knew it was this. It's too much division, too much of this and that, or too much of this. You're right, it's too much of this and that. On, too much of this and too much of that.
Yeah.
Way too much of all of that.
Amen.
And the problem is, when you're looking like that, what can God do? You want a revival? You have to break up your own ground. Where does it say the preacher is the tiller? Where does it say that your brother and sister is the one to break up the fallow ground? Because when God brought the word forth, He said, you break up the fallow ground. Well, wait a minute. What is fallow ground? It's your expectation. It's your heart. Because where do you receive the word at? In the mind? Well, that's the problem. There's too many people receiving the word in the mind. Their mind is open to an intellectual conception, but they have not opened their heart to the word itself. And because of that, it just goes in here. And you know what happens? You forget it. What I preached last Wednesday. I'd really go on you right now, but I don't remember either. I was looking through my notes, like, where in the world? I knew I preached on last week. But what? When you cherish the word,
on,
you talk about the word.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But you see, you have to allow it to become a revelation.
Amen.
So what? When you leave tonight, what? That's what you say. God, you asked me to return. Here I am, God. I want to return. God, I'm stiff-necked. I'm hard-hearted. Yeah, I got a little bit too much of my own mind here, God. But Lord, the reason why I'm raising my hands right now, God, because I still know I'm the bride. God, whether I overcome tonight or I overcome tomorrow, God, I know, God, that it is for me. Amen. Now notice this in Jeremiah 4, verse 1. He says, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Notice, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Remember when the seed was planted among the thorns, it smothered so the seed couldn't come forth. Well, what's a thorn? Thorn is something with pricks on it. Got a little attitude, guy, about it. Amen. My brother-in-law came over the other day on Sunday, and he going out and he looked at my thornless blackberries. He said, "Hey, honey, look at this. Thornless blackberries." Like, so. And he's like, "Have you ever got caught up in the thorns? The thorn blackberries?" I bet we could hear a story from Brother David Loberger. He was telling me for 3 weeks about a scratch that he got from them. And it's all because of the soap he uses. But you know what? I love red raspberries. And because of Brother David Loberger, I know now that I have thorn blackberries on my property too. And they were the ones that I've been killing for the last 3 years because the thorns on them are absolutely horrible. We had a good crop of blue blackberries this year. I only picked them once or twice because I ain't that dumb. Them things are mean. And the fruit wasn't big enough or tasty enough for me to care about. Is the truth? But I got thornless blackberries too. But the whole purpose of what we're trying to tell you is that it comes to a time that God won't cry out anymore. You can let them thorns grow all over your life, and every time that word comes down in there, you can smother it and say, "Yeah, that'll be for another day because I ain't going to let it grow right now." But eventually, that's going to come. It's going to bite you. When's your revival? Ought to be right now. Amen. So now let's continue on down to Jeremiah 14, verse 7. I want us to see this. Now notice here, we see Jeremiah once again saying a few things. He says, "O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in a time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night?" So he says, "Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, confused, as a man, mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not." Jeremiah cries out. We find that God, you can save us. Remember, God already told me, go ahead. Notice what it says in the 10th verse. "Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins." There's no grace. There's nothing left. Remember the scripture we read? Just one in the city here and two over there. That's exactly what your prophet said this day is. He said that's exactly what the rapture will be. So notice it says in 11th verse, "Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. So you're allowed to pray for their bad, but don't pray for the good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. Then said I, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. So God is so fed up with them that he says now, don't even pray for the good. I've called to them enough. And look at them. They just sit there. They just keep on, remember, Scripture says they love wanderings. It's like going around doing stuff. Oh, God. You know what wander means? It means to aim without purpose. Or to want to basically move without purpose. Just walking around. Isn't that how we are? What am I going to do this Saturday? Let the wanderings continue. We're looking for everything else but God. I need to do this. I got to do that. Ooh. This is going on. Oh, Lord Jesus. So now, maybe in closing, we see in Jeremiah 15, remember we just read the 14th chapter, God says, I'm done with them. So God basically says, they finally, I've sowed the word time and time and time again. You can't blame timing. Because timing is on you. You know what you do? You might be able to look back at last weekend and say, yep. Guess it wasn't then. But then you still have to face tonight and say, why isn't it tonight? Do you know that's over? There's more and more grace for this nation. Why do you think things are getting worse and worse? Come on. Just listen to AFR just a little bit. You're going to be depressed by the end of it. I listened for 5 minutes on the way home, and I hardly made it halfway home. My boss said, I can't handle this no more. Why? Because they're bashing? No. They're just reading news articles. They're showing what Obamacare really is going to do to this country. Stuff's all planned. Everything's planned to destroy this nation. We're going to hit our debt ceiling again. I believe it's in October. Again, we just raised it a trillion. We need another one? Yep. This is the first president. Yep. That radio's getting you right now. Because I heard this. This is the first president to ever have deficits in 4 straight years. And what makes that astonishing is that all of them are over $1 trillion. You know what makes that even more astonishing? Is the fact that that doesn't make us wake up. You know what makes even a little more sense? Is how you see every single Christian right you have getting stripped away from you.
and it still doesn't have us crying out yet. Isn't that amazing? You know what? The people that are Christians at work, they're still talking about retirement. They're still saying it always gets better. They'd say it's going to get better. Say, yeah, I don't think so. You know what? They haven't talked to me about it since I said that. Because they know it's true and they don't want to face it. They ain't trying to fight me. No, you ain't right. No, you know it's right. You know what it is? It's the proof of the season. They're just like a little boy walking through the cemetery at night, whistling. I've got retirement. Retirement ain't going to do you no good. It's over. Come on, church. The wanderings ain't going to do you no good. You know what we need to do? Get serious. Take this God serious. Look at what God has shown you over the last however many years you've been a Christian. You can literally look back and watch your growth. Growing, 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 growing. And you listen to this sermon and you say, okay, if this sermon doesn't identify you, and I don't know what kind of God you got. Because if you've been in this message in a Christian as long as you have and can't realize that the only thing that holds you back is your sin and your wanderings, being stiff-necked, your lack of yielding. If you've been a Christian as long as you have been and you can't see that you're in the fault, you better get God in your heart. You might as well start a salvation. Because you know what's the scariest thing I watch as a pastor here? People who aren't moved by the Word of God. You know what? I can look around here and I can say, I see growth. I do. I'm not going to say anyone here that I haven't seen growth. But I have seen no growth. I have seen it. I've seen a lack of desire. Not just out in the denomination world, in the message. I have seen constant thoughts of exploring the dainties of life. But one thing that I haven't seen is a church with fire shut up in their bones. And once in a while I see a man or a woman, or I say, boy, they got a real fire burning there. But I've yet to see a group get into a position that they all want the same God to burn in them, to burn out all the sin out of their life, to burn all the wickedness, and to move them aside and just let God be God. What's holding back the revival? You say, Brother Cam, you've preached this so many times. Okay, what is it? Oh, it's finally setting in. But no, the problem is, we know this. We just haven't done anything about it. It's like I told a brother last night. I said, you know what the problem is? The problem is I know I need to be praying 3, 4, 5 hours, as much as I can give God, as much as I can handle. But I'm outside talking to God with a stinking paintbrush in my hand. Can't concentrate while you got a paintbrush in your hand. Right? You can't really listen successfully to the message while you're driving. You know it's the truth. You know what? You can't even really study when your kids are in the room. Why? Because you need to focus. Focus on God. You know why prayer meetings are important? Because the time you can come in here and focus on God together. I've been saying this all along. When we have prayer meetings here, we've had some pretty good ones. But I'm not satisfied. I want a prayer meeting in here that I can feel the presence of God just sweep through the building. The Methodists did it without the Holy Ghost. They did it on a sanctification level. Not saying they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They had their form of the Holy Ghost. But it wasn't the fullness of the Holy Ghost. So what? Have I said enough? I got more scriptures. But I'm hitting my hour and 10. Actually, I'm not because I started late. How about another 20 minutes? Do I need to blast you for another 20 minutes and blast myself? Or can I just face the music? The music is what? You have a horse forehead. You and I. We've got so many other gods. So many other things that are taking precedence over God. Like I said, you know what? If we could get, when we get the Pennsylvania gang here, we see everybody in the church running and jumping chairs and jumping everything. I'm in it! Then the Pennsylvania crew leaves. Ain't nobody jumping no chairs no more. We just settle back down. You know what an Amish barn raising is? Them people put that barn up. They get it done. Now say we got an Amish barn raising that's going to last the next year and a half. They all come together. They contribute. They fight to achieve. To get the goal done. What's that got to do with Friday night prayer nights? We're still trying to finish this church on Friday nights. Well, why can't we do that on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Because we're human. Come on. You know what you people just show me, you saints? You show me that when we have get-togethers, and I've seen this every time we have a get-together, that next day you people are absolutely trampled. No, everybody's trampled except for Brother Ty. Because he's got more energy than all of us combined. Brother Caleb too. And some of you youngsters. But all of us older folk, I know, I'm 34 now. We come to church. We say, oh. We can give so much energy for a fellowship. But when we get to the house of God, we have nothing left. You know what you have to have before you can do that? You got to make sure there's going to be a fire. You have to test that. Because if you got that fire, you can stay all night up praying. If you can stay up all night praying, you know you'll be all right in service tomorrow. But you got to have that fire there first. Right? How are you going to know that you know that you know you've got the Holy Ghost and you're ready for this rapture? When a miracle blows in the church, how about a revival? How about a Shekinah glory coming around? You will know when you have soul travail so hard. Every revival I've ever studied, it all is soul travail. The Acts church, why'd they get 3,000, 5,000? Soul travail. They couldn't get enough of each other. Not just talking about hunting, fishing. crispy. I'm coming home now. But when you can genuinely get together and say, God, God, Jesus, Jesus, the Lord did this, the Lord did that. What do you think about that scripture? What about this? What about that? What about that? Oh, God. When they come together, they prayed together, they talked about the apostles' doctrine. In all those scriptures, it never said they talked about recreation. We don't see recreation coming in any of that. You want to talk about knowing who you are? Trust me, there's plenty of people that can talk about God all day long. They ain't got it. But I'm talking about a soldier veil, a fire shut up in your bones. A crying out to God where you know God is first place. You don't move until God tells you to move. Let's stand. That's all right, sisters, if you want to play frisbee. That's good stuff. Now, I'll start worrying about it when you start having frisbee get-togethers. But when we just get together, it's all right to have a little fun together. No. You're tired of Brother Ty winning everything. But you know, when we're together, you know what? I told a brother yesterday. I've been talking about a lot, talking to a brother yesterday. That's all right. But I felt such a unity over the past year, the weekend, with the saints that I've been with. I felt something that I just haven't felt. For a long, long, long time. I know what God's trying to do. I know where the problem is. The problem is, when are we going to let the fire consume the bush? You have to have a backside of the desert experience. So, I ask you tonight, closing. Do you feel a need to break up your fallow ground? Because remember, judgment is imminent. It's going to happen. You're not getting away from it. It's going to get worse. We might have a couple more years. I don't know. Hope so. Hope not. I hope not more and more. But when are we going to say, God, I want to dedicate this heart to you right now. God, I love too many things, God, that aren't you. I know what the Word says. If you've got any God in you, you know what this Word says. What it says you're supposed to be. How it says you're supposed to act. But yet, somebody in the way. How many would like to break this up tonight? You may not have to scream. You may not have to cry out. But wilt thou not revive? It's yours. It's that simple. Remember, like your prophet said, you can't have a revival until you get into the spirit of revival. So when you're breaking the fallow ground, you're getting into the spirit of that revival. You say, brother, I've got to have those Friday night prayer meetings. Okay, you can come and pray here. Just let me know. But why can't you say tonight, God, I want to start praying more at home. God, I want to give you my life now, God. change this heart, God. Lord, I know it's here, God, and it scares me to death that the things around me aren't moving me into desperation. God, break up my hard heart. Break up this fallow ground. Remember, you're asking for a spirit of revival. How many would like to say, God, tonight, Lord, I give you myself, God. I know this ain't going to be right here and right now, finished and over with. It can be for maybe one or two of us. But for most of us, we're going to have to fight into this thing. And God, I heard the word tonight. And God, help me, Lord, to break up this fallow ground. I have too many loves, God. Too many lovers, Lord. And not enough of the true lover. God, how could you be a husband and look over all the gods I went a-whoring after? God, thank you for your mercy. Let's just pray right now. Just offer yourself up to Him, church. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God. Just a little simple broken up message, God. But God, is this not the truth? Is this not your word? It's running right back again to the place, God, that we don't want to make you number one yet. God, help us, Lord. Forgive me, God, as the pastor of this church, God. I fell short, Lord. I've got too many hats I'm wearing, God. I've got too many wanderings I'm trying to do, Lord. Let me please you first, Lord, and then worry about everything else. God, we need that fire, Lord. We know, God, that you could give it tonight if we're in one accord, Lord. But God, fighting these devils out of our life, God, it's going to be a little bit more challenging, God. But Lord, the bride wants to take a step tonight and say, God, I haven't served you the best. I know you're real. I know this word is true. I know judgment is on this country right now, Lord. Lord, I can't pray for a revival in this nation, God. I can pray for a revival in the bride. I can pray, oh God, that you'd bring out as many as possible, but there's not a national revival anymore, God. But God, I know there's a revival that's called for me, God. Lord Jesus, I'm going to break up my heart right now, Lord. Oh God, even every gardener knows, God, that a lot of times you have to go back over that garden every year once or twice, two, three times. God, I want to break up this heart, Lord. Forgive me of my wickedness, God. Forgive me of the things I listen to and I don't cry out, God. Forgive me of the stand that I don't make for you, Lord. Take all fear away. Take all, oh God, any anxiousness, any false lying thoughts, God. God, take them away, Lord, and let the bride live, God. Bring that revival, Lord. It's our revival, Lord. You've called it for us. Lord, I don't want to hear about a revival in Washington, Lord. A revival anywhere else, God. I want the revival here. Get us, God, in line, Lord. Give us strength, God. We take a first step tonight saying, God, forgive us. Heal us, God. We'll return, God. I'm returning to you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The bride says, amen. If you ever need a prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you tonight. Let's just make love to God a little bit here. We've got to make this rapture. We've got to get ready for it. Jeremiah was the voice before the judgment. There's only one or two here, one there, that was getting ready. God, could you do more here, Lord? We're not trying to thin a church out. We're trying to get in line. We believe that all things are possible. Let's sing that song. Heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. Save me, God, and I'll be saved, God.
Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. O save me, and I will be saved. Lord, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed, for you are the one.
Hallelujah. Take control, Lord. The one that I praise, Lord.
You're all.
When I think about the Lord, amen.
And when I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring, oh,
More than I